It's good to be back with you. And I didn't intend to do this, but maybe it's the way the church is decorated. It's very beautiful. But I've been sitting there this morning reminiscing, and I thought I'd just share a little with you. I can't hit all the things that I'm thinking about. But I was thinking back to in my late 20s, I was teaching school, and somebody just asked if I'd come over and share a message on a Sunday morning. And then I asked, where is Kerryville? I'd been here a while, but I had no idea where Kerryville was. And I suspect Patsy was here at the time. I know Velma was, because she has told me after they asked me to keep on, what's this young whippersnapper going to teach us? I don't blame her. Anyway, the thing is, I was just thinking about some of the precious things that have happened here. My parents moved down from Iowa, and they came here, and I had the privilege of baptizing my mom and dad in our baptistry here. they had been in the Methodist Church. They had accepted Christ, but in those days, they just sort of got put water in their head. They wanted to be immersed. when Mary and Liz's folks came to live with us, they were here, and I was thinking about Bill Tucker being up here. He would have been singing at this time of the year. Now he's up there with Bev Shea singing, I think. But there's just been some precious times. We, at least five of our missionaries grew up here in the church. The Johnson kids, and I don't know if Andrew, I guess he made it right at the end maybe, but the Isaac kids. And so that's been precious as they're out serving the Lord. There was one other thing I was going to say. Anyway, and some of you folks here, it's been precious. And we've had people move on to heaven, but by God's grace, he's continuing to have the word go forth here. And such a blessing this morning to see Catherine and her children here. Such a blessing. And of course, I was thinking about Karen, and we had the privilege also of baptizing her dad and her son, and precious times with our brother Don Graber. Anyway, I appreciate so much what God has done over the years. I know one of the things that I maybe often talk about is that he opened our eyes to the reality of the spiritual battle here, but he's given us so many precious times. Oh, did I mention I married four of our daughters to their husbands here too. So anyway, there's a lot of good things that have happened here. I put in the bulletin the verse that I did talking about the wonderful gift that God gave. I've been thinking some this year as I see things decorated and the beauty of it to remember our Lord Jesus, to remember his birth. And I was thinking of the contrast of decorations from now to Halloween. And sure shows the difference in the two different directions. Anyway, it honors God when we honor the birth of our Savior and remember that and honor that. But God's put on my heart just to share some thoughts about the cost. And I think somehow we'll not touch what that really cost our Heavenly Father, what it cost our Lord Jesus, till we're home and get a full perspective on all that he's done. But I want to just share some thoughts on that, and I'd just like to stop and pray that God would help us just to reflect on the cost to our Father, the cost to our Lord Jesus, and a cost to the Spirit of God for the Father loving us so much. Heavenly Father, I do thank you today for the fact that Jesus came and said that you so loved the world that you gave your only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him would not perish, but have everlasting life. Lord, help us to somehow comprehend a bit what it cost you, what it cost our Savior. It's wonderful to reflect on the gift, but I just want your help to reflect a bit this morning on the cost. And I know that I can only scratch the surface, but Lord, may you help us to stop. I think it's important to you, Father, that we do reflect on the cost to you and to your dear Son. In Jesus' name, amen. First of all, just this matter of the cost to our Heavenly Father, I think that he helped us with this, and he helped people all the way through time. Thanks so much. That's fine. Thank you. But I want to go back just a moment to Genesis 22 in the matter of God testing Abraham, asking him to take the dear son he loved and sacrifice him. And I've been thinking about God's plan leading up to that, how that they were waiting a long time for their heir to be born, wondering how it could ever happen, and they thought about different options. But in their old age, God gave them Isaac at an age beyond what would be possible usually. And how they must have loved him, growing up in their midst, and know that he had promised an heir that the size of their family would just be so expansive. Genesis 22, 1 and 2 says, "It came to pass after these things that God did tempt Abraham and said to him, Abraham, and he said, Behold, here I am. And he said, Now take now thy son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains that I will tell you of." I forget who it was. One of the fine preachers of the past said that God has spared us surely the agony that was going on with Abraham that night, looking to the morrow. But he took him. He had no doubt that he was going to have to slay him. And in Hebrews 11, says that he believed that God would raise him up. That's the only thing he could come to believe that God, in his love, he gave us, surely he'll raise him up. But you know, at the last moment, he said, don't slay him. There's an animal there to be slain in behalf of him. And I just think that God wanted us to know what it cost him. He has, in a number of cases I've heard lately, and mine is a little bit different, but where people couldn't be home for Christmas and they were asking God, why? And God's response in a number of situations, my son was not home for Christmas either. And we rarely think about that because he's God. But I tell you what, we were made in his image, and we have those kind of feelings. We can grieve. We can have sense loss. And we're made like him. And so to think what it costs the Father. But the wonderful truth is that his love for the people of the world that have fallen into sin because of our first parents outweighed his love for his son, his willingness to offer up his son so that we could be back in the family and live with him forever But I think it's so important to think about and praise the Heavenly Father for the cost, that he was willing to send his son. And so I want to talk a little bit about the cost to our Savior. How can we ever fully understand? But I have to wonder, you know, way back in Genesis 3, when God made this statement to the serpent, the seed of woman is going to bruise your head. He knew it was his son. And I don't know, I suspect the Lord Jesus was there and understood that as well. Some almost probably 4,000 years later, it's the time. For in the fullness of time, God sent forth his son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem us who were under the law. And in God's own time, that seed of woman came forth. But I'm just thinking about, first of all, the cost to our Savior of what he left. And Colossians 1:15 says, speaking of Jesus Christ, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature, for by him were all things created that are in heaven and earth and visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by him and for him. And he is before all things, and by him all things consist. To think of pre-incarnation of our Savior and what that meant to him, we sang down from our ivory, a couple of songs, but talking about how he left glory. John 1:1, in the beginning was the Word, speaking of Jesus Christ, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him, not anything was made that was made. Involved in the creation and speaking the worlds into being. And I would say, before I come to the temptation, speaking angels into being as well. They are created beings by our Heavenly Father and our dear Lord Jesus. He was worshipped of angels. Hebrews 1:6, and again, he bringeth the firstborn into the world. He saith, and let all the angels of God worship him. And of the angels, he saith, who maketh his angels spirits and his ministers a flame of fire? But to the Son, he saith, thy throne, O God, is forever and ever a scepter of righteousness and a scepter of thy kingdom. One of the things that I failed to say about the Father that I just helps me know his heart. Two times we have it recorded. One is at the Transfiguration. The other is when John baptized the Lord Jesus, that the Father spoke, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. I never can quite understand the heart of God and what goes on in the heart of God. For instance, in opening the door to Satan torment Job for a purpose, but going through that, and now the heart of the Father with his Son, going through what it took here to be our great high priest. There are, in the Word, times pre-incarnation, I believe, that sometimes are called theophanies, where Jesus Christ was involved. We've recently, on a Wednesday night, talked about one of the services, about the captain of the Lord's host there by Jericho. I believe pre-incarnate Jesus Christ was there to take over as he aided them and was the main reason, God's power, to be able to retake that land. I think also probably there are times when he came before the destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah, the angel of the Lord was there. And so he was very busy pre-incarnation. And I would just share what Paul said to the Philippians. Let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. Other translations say it another way, that he had every right to be right in the presence of God as God. Thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but he made himself of no reputation, took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. Which takes me back to what Brother Jack read this morning from Isaiah 53. Not only came as being born of a virgin, but he's very ordinary. And I have no idea in the counsel between the Father and Son to let it be known how he would come. For in Isaiah 53, it says that he hath no form nor comeliness, and when we see him, there's no beauty that we should desire him. He came very ordinary. But it was important for him to grow up through the years and to be at the different stages to be our high priest, to understand and to be one who could encourage us with what we are going through. Isaiah went on, he is despised, he's rejected of men, he's a man of sorrow, he's acquainted with grief. We hid as it were our faces. He was despised and he esteemed him not. And he goes on to share how he bore our sorrows, wounded for our transgressions, bruised for our iniquities. Paul said again in Philippians 2, he made himself of no reputation, took upon him the form of a servant, made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Some of the things that Jesus went through here, and one that just, I don't know, I just have a hard time thinking it through, was in Matthew 4, allowing himself to be tempted of the devil, to allow that fallen Lucifer to take him to the pinnacle of the temple, to take him to a high mountain and offer him all the kingdoms of this world if he'll just bow down and worship him. And he finally, at the end of his temptations, Jesus said, the devil taketh him to an exceeding high mountain, showeth him, all these things I give you if you will just fall down and worship me. Then Jesus said to him, get thee hence, Satan, for it's written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. He let him do that. He had the authority finally to say, get thee hence. And then God's angels came and ministered to him. To become our high priest, Hebrews 5, who in the days of his flesh, when he had offered up prayers and supplications with strong crying and tears unto him that was able to save him from death, was heard that he feared. Though he was a son, yet he learned obedience through the things which he suffered, all to become our high priest who could bring encouragement and strengthening in the times of our temptation, the times of our weaknesses, the times when we're disappointed. But then the horrors of the crucifixion, and I didn't go write down any scriptures, we know about it. They beat him, they pulled his whisker, they spit in his face, and his grace to be able to say, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. But then there came time when he was able to say, it's finished. And that the veil ripped in top to bottom, and the way into God's very presence was open. The way to be back into God's family was open, because he was willing to pay the cost. But a word about the reward. Hebrews 12, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, he despised the shame, sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. And then what we read in Philippians 2, wherefore God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. That's coming. Every tongue, every knee will bow. One of the wonderful things is a privilege to have the gift and to accept the gift. I'm just reminded from John 1. He was in the world was made by him, but the world didn't know him. He came unto his own didn't receive him, but I love verse 12. But as many as received him, to them came he, gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. We rejoice in the gift, but it came at an enormous price to our Father, enormous price to our dear Savior. But I thank God he loved us so much that he paid the price, and that our Savior, though it was awful to face there in the garden, nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done. I just praise God today for paying the cost for me, paying the cost for our families, paying the cost for every brother and sister that has received Christ. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for paying the price for me. Thank you, Father, for sending your Son. And we're made like you. We can understand sorrow and grief and agony because you knew the joy that the gift would bring. Thank you so much, Lord Jesus. Thank you so much, Heavenly Father. In Jesus' name, amen. I was going to have us sing, Thank You, Jesus, for All You've Done. Liz had us sing a song, 102 in your hymnal, this morning that I told Don I'd look and see which verses. I'm going to have Don come and just lead us in 102. I think all the verses, Don. Think about those verses if you want to stand. And we'll close with singing, He Came to Die. He was born to die. Would you stand? And I won't.
Thank you.
So Heavenly Father, we thank you so much. And I pray for each of us, Lord, as we so are blessed with Christmas, the coming of your Son, that we never forget what it cost you, and may we live our lives in view of that, I pray. And now the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Amen.